warm and cool. Ocean 7, Jehovah from his throne on high looks down with clear and searching eyes on all that dwells below. And that fashioned heart and mind looks ever down on all mankind, the birth of men to know. Number 87, the stanzas 1 and 2. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The further I read to you, from God, the Holy Word, the Acts of the Apostles, the third chapter, the third part. Acts 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter, brethren, we are about to go into the temple as an arm. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, with jumped that look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver of gold and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up, stooped and walked, and entered with him into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he that sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the port that is called Salmon, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his Son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But he denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And killing the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name through faith in his name has made his men strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I would that through ignorance he did it, as is also your ruler. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace is given, and it be multiplied unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. The Lord of heaven and of earth, source and fountain of all grace, of all strength, and of all blessing, look upon us in this evening in thy beloved Son Jesus Christ, where it has pleased thee in thy long suffering and in thy tender mercy to bring us in this evening for the third time in this house of worship. Thou knowest perfectly all our needs and wants in speaking and in hearing. We are all dependent from thee, and we can do nothing in our own strength and without self. But it is only to Christ who can strengthen us and who can give us out of his fullness grace for grace. There is no worthiness in us at all. We have forfeited the right to any blessing. But you are in Christ, in his blood and in his righteousness. Past does not die, but grant unto young and old, great and small, an undeserved, but so necessarily blessing upon our gathering, that we are all realizing that we are travelers to that great and ever-ending eternity. And between our greater and our great, it is necessary to be born again and renewed by the Holy Spirit, to reconcile with thee, and also to be restored into communion and fellowship with thee. And that only is possible in that only way that is open in thy beloved Son, in whom thou art well pleased. Withdraw now thy grace from us and our children and grandchildren, but remember all of them in their loving kindness, that the outgoing of this Sabbath day, that it was to thy honor and glory, but also to our soul's salvation, that many were born in Zion, but that also thy people received a blessing for their hearts, and that all the riddles be unriddled for the soul in this evening, and that the joy of the Lord be the strength of their hearts. Lord, become in our midst and in our hearts, and in all the gatherings of thy people, that they are together to serve thy word and to place themselves under the preaching and reading of the same. Strengthen all thy servants, also him who is so weak and becomes weaker more and more, the very strength is taken away. Oh, remember him and all the other ones who are still laboring in thy vineyard. Increase greatly his leader numbers, and give all to us for the third time in this Sabbath day strength and wisdom and grace to expound thy word and to preach thy testimony, and that gospel in the power of thee the Most High. Grant a blessing for our own heart and soul, and remember those that cannot gather with us. Remember also those that have no desire to come up. Oh Lord, bind the needs and wants upon our souls. Be all those that in the different hospitals and in their own, in weakness, remember them in mercy. Recover them also, one who was so faithful in coming up with us on the diverse, but now having an accident, he cannot gather with us, and maybe for several time and weeks, that it shall be impossible. But oh, remember her. Look upon her in mercy and compassion, and that she may call to the God of her mother, who is for years already for the throne of God and the Lamb, who we have known here also in our congregation. There is nothing too wonderful for thee. Those families who are in the Netherlands already, and those who hope to live in this week, we commend them at the throne of grace. Bring them safely back at the appointed time, and protect all those that they left behind them here. Remember all of us in mercy in Christ Jesus, with all the widows, orphans and widows, and the boys in the service, and in the battlefield, look upon us together with the pardoning and remission of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now 304. Your offering will be for the church and for our school. 304. Oh, give the Lord wholehearted praise. To him thanksgiving I will bring. With all his people I will raise my voice and of his glory sing. Number 304. Beloved the congregation, the first question that we have in that question book of Hellenbroek, that is, whereof we know that there is a God. And then the answer is, out of nature, and out of the scripture. First out of nature, where the Lord in his wisdom and in his goodness had healed some of his wonderful attributes amongst the children of men. And in that psalter that we were singing, 304, Psalm 111, that David declared that the works of the Lord are great, and so doubt of them that fear his name. Really, very great are the words of the Lord. But the words revealed in the Holy Scriptures, revealed in Christ Jesus, they are much greater than that we find in the realm of nature. Because there is nothing to be compared with the words of the Lord in the justifying of a sinner and in the restoration of a sinner into communion and fellowship with God. It is really from the beginning to the end, it is all the word of the Lord. This evening, for a little while, I hope to say something about that. This evening, especially about the first four. Acts 3:34, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with young, said, "Look on us." This verse. It is, as you well remember, it is not for the third time that we will preach in this evening out of Acts 3. But of course, the Word of God is so rich, and it is so deep, and we find time and again in the Word of God things that we never before have considered. Therefore, we never, in regard to the searching of the Scriptures, come to an end with it. Even after so many years that we were preaching out of the Word of God, the question really is coming up time and again, what did I say about the revelation of the Lord in his Word? I hope we shall find out that also in this evening by considering especially the word "look on us." We find here in this third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, the beginning of their action. Behind this lay the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And then the result of what took place in this chapter was that Peter started to preach, and the preaching of Peter in Acts 3 that has that result that many were converted and brought to the true knowledge of God. But it has also that result that both of the apostles, Peter and John, for one night were placed in jail. They were placed before Annas, Caiaphas, and a man with the name of John and Alexander. They were placed after that for four different judges. It must well be a great thing that has taken place, that all came to pass. But we find out by reading this chapter that it speaks about a layman, a beggar, a man who was born lame. It was just with that man different than that it was with Mephibosheth, because he was 5 years old, and then that accident that came upon him while that woman who takes care for him by accident let fall that man on the ground, and then he was lame. Here it was different. And you know that if we are born with something, with some in our body, or our legs of our arms, that is almost incurable. You will find no doctor or specialist that can help you. Here we have a man who was born lame. It had not taken such a long time. And then the parents of this boy that found out that there was no strength in his feet and in his ankles. So he grows up to a boy. Later on he became a young man, and finally became a man in the prime of his life, 40 years old. And it seems, of course, that men had nothing in the world, They placed him every morning on one of the gates of the temple. And then that is the only thing what that man was doing that was begging for an alms. The only thing. You read never in the Bible that that man had ever any desire that they carried him in the temple, and that he was a witness of what took place in the temple, where they were offering 9 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And 3 times every day there was in the temple a prayer. Every day. But that he ever had in his life a desire to hear such a prayer, that he was interested in some of the religions, that men know only one thing, and that was to pray for an arm. That's all that he did. Every day it was the same thing, asking for an arm. Whether that he had known the apostles, whether that he had known Christ, who was preaching in the temple many times, we know nothing about it. It seems that that man was totally indifferent. Indifferent in regard to the condition of his body, but also indifferent in regard to the condition of his soul. And we find that out in the words of my text this evening too. Look on us. Peter and John, they both have brothers, converted brothers. Peter, Andrew, and John, James. But the Lord had sent both of that men out after the day of Pentecost to preach the gospel. It seems as boys that they were already together at the sea of Tiberias. They had learned when they were young the same trade. Later on, the Lord had converted them. And now after the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, they were also sent out together to preach the gospel in the midst of the world. In the afternoon, 3 o'clock, they went to the temple. They went there at the hour of prayer, no more to offer, because that was all done. The laws of the ceremony were abolished. They came entirely to an end. But the special reason was that Peter and John at that time go up to the temple
that to us to have an opportunity and to find an opportunity to preach the word of God. Later on, the Apostle Paul, he wrote to the Corinthians, always abundantly in the word of the Lord. And where we are called by the Lord to preach the gospel, then we are anointed with the Holy Spirit in that respect, then there is a desire time and again to preach the word of God. So it was with Peter and John. And then, of course, when they came to that gate, beautiful, that was a brazen gate, that was a gift given by a man with the name of Nicanor. Later on, then you find the name of that man in the Acts of the Apostles back. And now Peter and John, they were coming to that gate, and there that man was laying, and he asked, as usual, for an arm. He desired some money. But what happens now? And that is what I will bring out especially this evening to you. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with Jan. Jan was standing by there. You read not that he had said one word. But all that Peter was saying, he did it also in behalf of Jan. They fastening their eyes upon that man. Did that man now fasten his eyes upon Peter and Jan? No. Nothing at all. That man, that lame man, he had looked well to Peter and Jan, but only to receive some money. Nothing else at all. As I told you, that was the only thing what he was thinking about in his whole life. It seems that his mind goes no further than to receive some money. But Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, with Jan, said, look on us. That Peter, fastening his eyes upon that man, even Jan, that was a wonderful thing. That was there a special work of the Lord but to place there. The Lord he revealed to that Peter and Jan that that layman was one of the chosen ones of the Lord. And that Peter and John, they did immediately believe that. They have to believe it. They must believe that that man was a chosen one of the Lord. well remarkable congregation that the name of that man is not mentioned. Thus we don't know what his name was. Was it some forgotten? Was it something that slipped by those that were inspired by the Holy Spirit? No. But what must be then well the special reason that the name of that man was not mentioned there? Oh, the Lord has his purpose. And the purpose of the Lord with that was that the Lord in his word stay far away from the honoring of men. Even you read about Peter and John, that they personally, even as apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they did not desire any honor of mankind. We know only one whom we have to honor. We know only one whom that we must give all the honor and all the praise and all the glory, and that is the King of Kings, and that is the Lord of Lords, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But now Peter, fastening his eyes upon him that young, said, look on us. What was now the reason that Peter said, look on us? We have always thought about it. There was a special reason for that Peter said, look on us. There is no one that answered the question, this I am called to do self. That asked for an arm, for money. But not immediately give Peter something. And then there was the same as that the church goes on, then the people is coming and coming. Just at that moment, he was no more looking to Peter and John. He forget them already. Forget them already? Yes. Yes. Then he had not immediately received something. He thought, does that people that will not give anything to me, does now his eyes were looking upon other people already. Does Peter and John in that respect, they came in the back already. He had to give an up to receive something of them. Look on us. Look back. Look not to other people that is coming to the church, but look now on us. A clear proof congregation. but man is by nature. Calvin, he said in his explanation about this chapter, that man lays there with dead bones and feet by that gate beautiful. Death. And that the man had no interest at all in the welfare of his immortal and never dying soul. Look on us. That Peter and that young desire that was in his inner heart, that man would have the same thing in his heart as that Peter and John had. Because Peter and John, they believed that he was a chosen vessel of the Lord, a man for whom the time was now there that the Lord would glorify his grace in his soul, that the Lord would recover his legs, strengthen his ankles, and that the time was there that he never had learned to walk, and that he never could walk, but that he, after a few minutes, that he would walk there with them in the temple, and that he would glorify the Lord. I ask you now a question. How is possible that the religion in our days, that they place men on the foreground, or that they place men in between? How is it possible? If there is one evidence in the Bible, in the infallible Word of God, that the work of the Lord is a one-sided work, look then in Luke 3, in the history of that lame man. There you have the clear proof. Because that poor man, he did not realize who were standing before him. Peter and John said, look on us. They were standing there before him, not as common men, but they were standing before him as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And more than that, they were standing there even that the Lord Jesus Christ was standing before them. And it comes that God's servant in the ministration and in the preaching and in the word, they are standing in the name and in the authority and in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he did not realize it at all. No. And by nature we do not realize it too. That is the reason that men by nature give no heed to the preaching of the word and to the preaching of the gospel. Because it is the Lord himself who declares unto us that he had no desire in the death of a sinner, but well in the conversion and in the salvation, and that the Lord is visiting him and praying and sinners be reconciled with God. That the Lord is standing in the preaching of the gospel before us with that offer of grace. No one excluded of it, but to all the people to whom that the preaching of the gospel is coming, the Lord shows that he is interested in our salvation. The Father has sent his only begotten Son in this world as a propitiation for our sins. And now that voice of the gospel that comes to us, look on us. It is really the same thing here as that you read in Isaiah 45, verse 22, where the Lord declares, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the world. Congregation, if it was this evening for the last time, that you hear the gospel preaching amongst you, and it was never to your eternal salvation, then we have to declare that it is our own fault, because the labor that the Lord has bestowed upon us has so many fault in our life, and that in the great day of judgment that there is no excuse at all for anybody. But now at the other end, what a blessing, what an unspeakable blessing it is, that salvation is firm and solid in a triune God, and that the Lord takes care for all those whose names are written in the book of life and the Lamb, and that the time is coming, sometime in the days of the youth, sometime when they become old, sometime when they are old, at the evening of their life. But look on us. There is a possibility to be saved, to escape the wrath of God. And when it takes place in our life, then the Lord gives us that privilege under Jesus. Then it is firm that all the praise and that all the honor and that all the glory of that word shall be given to the Lord as we sing now together out of 412, praise ye the Lord his name, who promised court below, and he is host in heaven above, his glorious praise is yours, his glorious praise is yours. Number 412. And another thing, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, his young said, look on us. Did that lame man understand the words of Peter? No. He did well obey Peter, because he had, as we have heard, looked already to other people that followed Peter and John. And then immediately he looked upon Peter and John, but not for the cause and for the reason that he would be healed, cured, or receive grace. Even then that thought was not in his mind and in his heart. Even up then. And then Peter, he said that word that all that is known to all of us, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter and John, outwardly they have nothing. Were they sorrowful that they have nothing? No, they have no care about the truth. And why they were not sorrowful about it? Because they have a delight in what the Lord had given them, not only as a child, grace that they never would be loose, but also as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have at that time the privilege to heal the sick people. But such as I have, this I do. What the Lord had given to those apostles, that was not to keep it for himself. No. But it was to the welfare, bodily and spiritually, of immortal souls for eternity. The more, in other words, the more that they could give to the people, the rather they would do it. There was a gladness in their hearts the day before, or 2 days before, when that people was pricked in their hearts. Then you know that they asked the apostles, what must we do? And then those 3,000 people that break open the mouth of the apostles to preach there the full counsel of the Lord, that is today the same people. If there is people in the church that need the proclamation of Christ, then the Lord shall anoint his servant, and he shall give his servant that great privilege to speak with boldness the gospel, as it is in Christ Jesus. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I can well understand that Peter said not in his name, but in the name of Jesus Christ. But why is now that Peter said to that lame man, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the name of Nazareth, that was a despised name, you know that. And with that name, that layman must have heard sometime in his life about Jesus of Nazareth. But also for his thoughts and for his ideas, that man had no value at all. He was despised of that Jewish people. The rulers had crucified him, hanging him on the cross. He was dead. And they have heard that history, that his disciples came after that he was buried, and that they have taken his body, but that he never was risen from the dead. But now Peter used that despised or disdained name, Jesus of Nazareth, to give that man an impression that Jesus of Nazareth was still alive. And what he now would receive bodily and spiritually, but spiritually especially, was the immediately fruit of his humiliation. Because in the state of Christ's humiliation, then he had merited for his church eternal salvation. Eternal salvation that consists in the deliverance of sin and in the restoration into communion and fellowship with the Most High. Just in the name, in the power, and with the authority of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter, he was sure of what he was saying. How was that possible? There was no doubt in his words and in what he was speaking to that man. Why not? Because in the exercising of true faith, there is no doubt. In faith itself is no doubt. In so far that it is wrought in the heart of God's people by the Holy Spirit, no doubt at all. For Peter it was as that he already was walking, and that he already was glorifying the Most High God. Rise up and walk. And then a man who never had learned to walk, and who never, in all those 40 years that he was living, that he ever had any strength in his ankles, and that he ever had stand up on his feet. But now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What a miracle. What a miracle. And Peter, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Immediately. Why was Peter stretching out his hand to that man? He did that also in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the same time that Peter said, rise up and walk, then the Lord made that man spiritually alive. And immediately was that shaven face that was already in exercise in the heart of that man. And that was the reason that Peter took his hand. Peter declared there also in public that the Lord has taken on that man in eternity, but also here in the time of grace. And that now Peter, that he was along with that beggar, with him he was before a beggar, a despised man by the whole world, you never realize. But in Christ is God's people one. And in Christ they are more than conquerors. This, when that faith is in action and in exercise, then you read in 1 John 5 that faith is so strong that it overcomes the world. See here now, look to the wonders of that tree and that sovereign grace. Immediately that man he rise up. He walked, and where he was never before interesting in the inside of the temple, where he never had anything to do with offering, where he never had anything to do with the prayers there, immediately it became different. Just when the Lord worked, you see it in the fruit. I go this evening no further. But, my dear friends, what I have preached this evening, that is on one side the state of death in heaven, without any interest in, nothing at all. And at the other end, that one side the word of the Lord. But nevertheless, we are all responsible for our life. Boys and girls, children, travelers to eternity. The word of God is brought in your midst for so many years. There are laying, I know the number, but I shall not mention this evening. There lay out much more than 4,000 sermons here in your midst that we have preached. More than 4,000. And if the Lord would bring it to an end, one question you have to answer, young and old, is the Lord free of your blood? Yes or no? Is he free of your blood? Shall there be one that can lift up his hand and say, Lord, you are not free of me? I think congregation, there is not one. There is not one. What a labor that the Lord has bestowed upon the poor and immortal soul for that great and ever-ending eternity. I hope and I pray that it become as a burden upon your soul as an unbearable burden, young and old, great and small. The Lord is on his way also for the company. I fear, to take his word away. Because there is in general nothing else than Martin. This, the word of God. We have the evidences in several places. Who are recently have seen life. And then it is so far changing away, people. So far changing away. That we must say, terrible. There are brought up questions now in our days that we never have heard, never. That your fathers and mothers have never heard. But what they desire in the future, what they desire for the young people, all great people, till the day of judgment. And then you will know what is allowed for young people as well as for old people. But then it shall be too late. Then it shall be too late forever and forever. It is still the time. It is still the time of grace. Oh, I pray you, harden up your heart. Harden up your heart. But that you may learn to bow for the Most High before that it is too late. And it shall be too late forever and forever. And children of God, and one-sided work of the Lord. Not one prayer of men, not one sigh, and not one cry come in between. But look to these men, the miracle of the Father, the miracle of the Son, and the miracle of the Holy Spirit. Seeking people in my midst that it encourages those in this evening and that it gives comfort to your heart that the Lord fulfill his counsel and that he glorified his name and power till the end of the world and that your poor wretched sinners who have deserved nothing else than to be cast away out of God's sight, but who are restored into his communion and fellowship forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we acknowledge thy name, that thy hand has strengthened us today to preach till precise. Oh, tis all full of imperfection, we know. And for ourselves we have to give nothing else than in disapproval. But oh, that it may please the Lord to bind it upon the heart of young and old, great and small, and that also the preaching of this evening, that it was to the salvation of many sinners. There is nothing too wonderful for thee. Look upon us in mercy. Bring us safely home to our destination. Protect us in the week that lay before us. Strengthen and sustain us to perform all the labors laid upon our shoulders. For each and every one, bless the labors of our hands. Remember the families, in all the difficulties, in all the needs and all the wants, take us under thy care and protection for time and for eternity, also with that people that shall leave us for some week. Lord, we commend them all at thy throne. Hear us for thy great name's sake. Amen. Number 175. Come all ye people, bless our God. And what follows, 175. And give thee peace. Amen.